This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I just want to warn everyone that at 8:20 tonight, which is right around first pitch of the World Series, in military time, it'll be 2020.
Whoa.
Just thought I'd tell you that.
But you skipped a 10.
All right, so if you want to put the 10 in, you little imp, then it's 2020, 10, 20, 2020, 20, okay?
I just want to be honest with everyone.
This is a bit much.
You think so?
A little bit of a stretch.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Don, very, very anti-daylight savings time.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. It's for farmers. They don't even care anymore.
On 98.7 ESPN.
What a perfect segue, because Buster only comes from a long history of farmers. And although he's here to talk World Series with us, Buster, do farmers actually like daylight saving time?
Absolutely. Look, you back it up. It gets you more daylight to work in. When I was growing up as a kid, we'd be out in the barn at 5 o'clock. And so if you did daylight savings, then, you know, after that was applied, you could be outside and working by 7 a.m. And you'd have some daylight to do it. So thank you for sacrificing for us.
I think it's too much of a sacrifice, frankly, but that's just me.
Well, that doesn't surprise me that you feel that way. But you know what? All of our cows really appreciate you giving up for us.
I'll do the best that I can. Okay, so the World Series starts tonight. And boy, baseball, I'm not going to use luck because there's a lot of hard work in this. They had a 16-team playoff, and the two teams with the best records are in the World Series. You can't draw it up any better, Buster.
No, and really from the beginning. You know, I was the idiot who said at the beginning of it, 5% chance to get to the start of the season, 0% chance to get all the way through. They're going to get through, and not only are they going to get through because the hard effort, you know, the hard work of the players and the staffers and the athletic trainers, but, you know, they're going to get through with the two best teams. You know, you talk to people in the American League yesterday. I was asking a number of them, hey, who you got? Almost all of them were picking the Rays because they love the depth of that team. You know, the depth of the bullpen, the ability to match up. And I just did the Dodgers for ESPN Radio in the National League Championship Series. That team's absolutely stacked on paper. You know, they've been the favorite the whole year. Probably the only thing that baseball, you know, secretly might have wanted more was either the Yankees or the Astros, just for television ratings. But to have the two best teams after, you know, there was a situation where you could have had a team like the Marlins step in and blow it up, that is a good thing for baseball.
But you look at the Dodgers, and they've been here before. What is this, the third time they've been to the World Series in the last, 4 years? 8 straight divisional titles, and the Giants have won more championships than them in their own division. So even if the Rays end up being stacked up better, how do they look at yet another year without a championship? Would they think about moving in a different direction?
No, I don't think they would, because you know, knowing how that front office works and looking at the numbers, you know, they're looking at the probabilities. And the probabilities are that one of these years the Dodgers are going to figure out, and maybe this will be the year. You know, Don, one thing I noticed and felt during that National League Championship Series, that in some respects this Dodger team reminds me of the 2004 Red Sox. You know, when the Red Sox came back from 3-0 against the Yankees, and they, you know, they blow them out in Game 7, and then they just went flying into the World Series. Like, all right, we are free from our big demons, and we're just going to play great and have a great time. You know, the Dodgers were down 3-1. They stared into the abyss like that 0-4 Red Sox team did. I think they're going to go absolutely flying into this World Series against the Rays and playing maybe pressure-free in a way that they didn't at the beginning of the NLCS.
Now, you just said something that really intrigues me, that Major League Baseball probably would have liked Yankees, Dodgers, or even Dodgers, Astros. Don't you think that Major League Baseball would have had a vast amount of egg on its face if the Astros made it to the World Series, A, after being admitted cheaters, and B, getting into the playoffs at 29-31? Would they have looked bad, Major League Baseball?
I don't think it would have been a fun exercise for Rob Manfred to hand a championship trophy to Jim Crane. You know, that would have been a moment we all would have been watching and following. But in the end, you know, they want to make the broadcast partners happy. And if you're sitting there at Fox, or, you know, if we had had it at ESPN, you know we would have been rooting for either Yankees, Dodgers, or Astros, Dodgers. I think anyone with a brain can see that. And especially in this year when everyone was scrambling to put a TV product together, I think while you know, Rob's personal preference may not necessarily have been to hand a trophy to the Astros, I think it would have understood why the partners would want that.
Now, just before you came on, we were talking about what Jeff Luhnow said in the interview today, where he didn't have anything to do with the cheating, and actually the people that orchestrated the cheating are still working there. What's the vibe in Major League Baseball about what Luhnow said?
Come on. I you know, every step of the way, Jeff has, while he's made himself available, you know, through the worst moments with the Astros, I don't remember him ever coming out and saying, you know, this was absolutely my decision. For example, when they put the club employee by the Cleveland Indians dugout, you know, clearly from their perspective to monitor the sign stealing, and the same thing with the Red Sox series that year. He never really owned that. He never came out and owned the tanking. He never came out in any of these circumstances and said, yeah, this was absolutely my fault. I think this is part of the reason why the Astros scandal really continues to grate on people around baseball, is that it doesn't seem like anybody has absolutely come out, you know, from the players all the way up to the top of the food chain with Jim Crane and said, yeah, it was my fault. Yeah, I'm the one who did it. And this involved so many people. Besides Alex Cora, I haven't seen anyone really come out and own, you know, the fact that they made a mistake. I guess Evan Gattis did as an individual player, but for the most part, you haven't seen the folks in the Astros organization own it.
And I found myself when Peter and I got in a little bit of trouble last week when we said I was kind of rooting for the Astros. They're down 3-0, a chance to come back and win a game 7, and for me, I just love Dusty Baker, and I just feel awful for him. Another Game 7 loss. How does baseball view him? Is he the Marty Schottenheimer of baseball, just can't win the big one? Do they feel bad for him? Is it something he does that he just can't seem to win a Game 7?
Yeah, I don't think it's something he does. I mean, let's face it, the Astros were at a big disadvantage this year. You know, all the rookie pitchers, because of all the injuries they had with their bullpen, and in that series, they were outmanned. I did feel like that the players, kind of like I was talking about the Dodgers, you know, surviving the Braves, I think the Astros players are kind of freed up emotionally, in part because there are no fans in the stands, but also they understood that no matter what they did and going forward, no matter what they do, they're going to be the villains. I just think they were simply outplayed. And you're right about the way people view Dusty. I've had so many people with other teams say, you know what, in the end, Jim Crane picked the right guy to be the manager of the team, because Dusty speaks with such perspective and such a history. The players respond to him. You know, they're through the years, I've heard people in baseball talk about his pitch, you know, his pitching decisions. I have never heard anybody say anything other than the fact that the players love to play for him and they play hard. They always play hard for Dusty.
Michael. Sorry. I was going to say, Buster, how long could he last there, realistically?
I mean, let's face it. He's at the stage in his career where it's year to year. He got the extension back in July from Jim Crane, so maybe he goes into next year. Big picture question about the Astros is, under new general manager James Click, do they now at some point begin to look at what they have? And George Springer becomes a free agent. Verlander very possibly may never pitch there again. Correa is a free agent potentially after next year. Do they begin to look at that group of players that are so accomplished and say that window's closed? And we start to turn it over. And at that point, it probably would make some more sense if they went to get a younger manager.
All right, so I'm wondering where you join in the argument that we had over the last couple of weeks, and that's a situation where Dave Roberts was down 3-1 in the series against the Braves, and there were some whispers, I wonder if he'd keep his job. Well, he's made some very curious decisions in the World Series and ended up getting contract extensions. And then, we had Hal Steinbrenner on our show, and he said there's not even any thought about Aaron Boone, and it shouldn't be a thought. I don't think that Boone matters to a point that they should relieve him of his duties. But I look at it this way, Buster. Any analytically driven organization, if you have a manager that's in lockstep with you and is operating under the numbers that you're giving him, I think it would be the height of hypocrisy to ever fire a manager who does that, because if the numbers don't work, it's not his fault. Your thought, will an analytic-driven team who gives the numbers to a manager and has him manage according to those numbers ever have the gall to fire a guy?
Completely agree with you, and I think the best example that we can see of that dynamic is Joe Girardi. Look, you know, the front office worked with Joe, and Joe may not have always agreed with some, especially as they started to really use analytics. He may not have agreed with what they were doing, but they worked together, and no one ever complained about that. The reason why Joe Girardi isn't manager of the Yankees, you guys know this, is because he didn't connect with the players. Brian Cashman said as much when he spoke with reporters after Joe left. The only question to me for Aaron Boone now is not about individual decisions that he made during the course of this year's playoffs or during the course of the year. It's whether or not the players respond to him, much as I was just talking about with Dusty Baker. And I think the players do love him. I've heard nothing but great things from players about him. And I agree with you, Michael. You can't judge managers on individual decisions. And just going real quick back to Dave Roberts, there have been so many times in the last few years where he's worn the criticism particular moves, and there's a lot more nuance to some of those things and some of the things he's done than people realize because of the dictates coming down from the front office.
Isn't it also true, though, Buster, that Joe, toward the end of his tenure with the Yankees, pushed back on some of the suggestions, and that might have hurt him, too, as well as not having a great rapport with the players?
I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the handling of Gary Sanchez.
And he ended up being right.
I mean, now that we're down the road and his concerns about him, I think that their feeling was that they just couldn't reach Gary in the same way because of the criticism and the way that he handled him. Now, it's interesting. Eric Neander's the general manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, and he told me that the greatest asset for any organization is not the money. It's not the draft picks. It's all of the plate appearances and innings in which you give players an opportunity to get better. And if you have a situation where players don't believe the manager's going to be a part of that, I think that's what happened with the Cubs and Madden to some degree, then I think the team probably needs to move on. And my sense was that's where the Yankees were with Girardi.
Now, who's getting the Tigers job?
There's a lot of rumblings that eventually AJ Hinch has an excellent chance to get that job. But I also know this, is that when his name and Alex Cora's name was mentioned by their front office a couple weeks ago in a public setting, and I don't remember exactly, I think it was Al Avila who did it, their general manager, but it came out publicly that they were going to be candidates. Major League Baseball was really unhappy about it because those guys were in jail, in baseball jail, and still serving a penalty. And so until that's resolved, I don't think you're going to hear much about Alex or AJ.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, back to the series, what does Roberts do in a tight spot? Can he trust Jansen to close out in a big moment? I know he trusted him in Game 6, but I think that's a major problem for the Dodgers.
I will tell you this, in watching every game closely, I thought his stuff, the quality of his cut fastball was better in those last two outings than it was in previous rounds in the postseason. I think that's what Dave was reacting to. My guess is that if we get to tonight and it's 4-1 the ninth inning, Kenley's going to be the first guy to get the chance to close it out. But Dave has made it very clear, look, I owe it to everybody in this team to put the guy out there who I think gives us the best chance. You know, Blake Treinen hasn't necessarily pitched great. Pedro Baez has been okay, but he's had numerous postseason blow-ups. So there's not, Gratterall is a tremendous talent, throws 100 miles per hour, but he doesn't generate much in the way of swing and miss, something he might get as his career goes along. I think he'll give Kenley a chance. If Kenley blows it, then I think Dave will veer to other spots. We've seen him defer to the best possible situation to help the team win with Cody Bellinger. The guy was the National League MVP last year, and he dropped in the sixth spot in the lineup, and I think that's how the sort of the mindset he'll have as he manages Kenley.
We're talking with Buster, only here on the Michael Kay Show. Clayton Kershaw gets a start. Does he need to have a really good start for his legacy, or is his legacy all set? I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but does he need this big game?
I think he needs it. It's funny, on a podcast they do, I talked about that with Boog Sciambi today. He says, no, absolutely not. It doesn't matter. I think that Kershaw's situation right now is very similar to John Elway at the end of his career, where that was the one box he hadn't really checked. And so there were the questions, you know, could Elway win? Could Elway win? And he did win when he was clearly diminished from where he'd been earlier in his career, but at least he didn't go into retirement. We're saying Elway never won the big one. I think the same is true with Kershaw. I also believe the fact is, you know, we extol players like Madison Bumgarner and Curt Schilling, you know, Bob Gibson for being, you know, Reggie Jackson for being able to raise the level of the play when they play in the postseason. The fact is that Clayton's ERA is 2 runs worse in the postseason, and it's not a small sample size. You know, by the end of this World Series, he's going to have close to 200 innings in the postseason. Wow. They've won less than half the games that he's pitched in. 35 games, their Dodgers are 17-18 in those. That's different than Whitey Ford or Madison Bumgarner, a lot of people that we talk about as being great postseason performers.
Now, I love Boog Sciambi more than life itself, but that is an insane take. I mean, especially considering we spend all of this time analyzing LeBron James' career based on the fact that he isn't perfect in the finals, let alone to have basically completely wet the bed on the biggest stage. Do you remember a game one start in the World Series that's more pressure-packed for a big-time starter than tonight for Kershaw?
Well, I got to be honest, and I'm just thinking back. I remember Clemens, and Michael's going to remember this, the beginning of, you know, because Clemens in the first year he was with the Yankees wasn't great. There became a time when that was part of the conversation. Does Roger need to be great? And it's so funny, Peter, that you mentioned LeBron, because that's who Boog used to make his defense. And I, you know, and it was a fine defense, but he feels like that so much of these, Boog is a very anti-narrative guy. And he doesn't like the whole narrative around Kershaw feeling like, look, this guy, you know, has had a tremendous career. There have been a lot of decisions and failures around him which have helped to drag down his numbers. I tend to look at it as the numbers are the numbers, and you can't run away from that.
Well, you have to ask yourself, how do you feel about Greg Maddux? Because Greg Maddux was not great in the postseason either.
Nope.
He's a shell of himself compared to his regular season. Do you look at him differently because of that?
No, but you know what he has? He's got the 1995 World Series, and no one ever brings it up, right? He's one of the greatest pitchers of all time, but because he checked that box, you know, in the middle of his career, no one ever really talked about that. No one talked about it for Tom Glavine. No one talked about it for John Smoltz because they all checked that box. I think Clayton needs to check the box. My sense is from just listening to Dave talk during the last round, I think the days where they're going to stress Clayton and hold him out there and use him for extra situations and press to get him on the mound, I think those days are over. You know, he's dealing with his back issue. He's 32 years old, which is why I feel like the Elway comparison is probably the best one I can think of covering sports.
Also, throw this right back at Sciambi when you talk to him. You think A-Rod needed the 09 postseason? You think needed that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. No doubt about it. 100%. And I would cringe at the idea that Clayton, as great as he's been, the greatest regular season pitcher of his generation, you know, arguably the greatest regular season pitcher of all time, would go into retirement without a ring. That would be something. It would be the yeah, but that everyone would bring up about Clayton, about his career. No question. Same as it was Elway. Same as it still is with Dan Marino.
I've got a great number stat before we let you go. I got this from the Action Network on Twitter. All right, MLB favorites are 12-0 with Laz Diaz behind the plate this season. Laz Diaz is behind the plate tonight. So there you go. Put the money on the Dodgers.
Okay, right. And I probably should run from that comment.
Enjoy the series, Buster.
Okay, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.